Please be seated. So good, welcome back. Some of you I'm seeing for the first, this is our second time in person, even though behind this shower curtain, and I'm able to take off my masks. So good to have you all here present. Little by little, we're getting through, and here we're celebrating Trinity Sunday. And this is one of those feasts that I love, and I always cringe, especially as I read Facebook, some of my fellow clergy members, and some bishops sometimes, bemoan having to preach on Trinity Sunday. And yesterday I was gifted by a beautiful idea, and I get asked permission to do this. Yesterday I was talking with a young couple, wanted to get married here at Emmanuel. And when I was asking this young couple, I was asking, why do you want to get married? No one gets married. I always do that to see what they respond. And what he told me was the following. He said, I want to get married because marriage is not only about me and my fiancé. It's about the community also, because we ought to reflect the Trinity. And I was like, oh, wow, can I use this tomorrow in my sermon? And he said, sure. I said, why? Well, tomorrow is Trinity Sunday. Oh, I didn't know about that. So this young man in his early 30s, he got it. The Trinity is not some abstract, theoretical thing. It's about life. It says, if I am to reflect who God is, who is one in Trinity, my marriage should reflect that. It is not only a matter of us two, my wife and I, but it is a matter of us three, my wife and us, and a community that upholds our marriage. So I wanted to share with you all this because to celebrate Trinity is not an abstract, theoretical thing. It is a living truth that engages us and challenges to live in the world more like God wants us to live. Trinity is not this complex mathematical problem that we need to solve. Trinity is basically how we experience nature and how we experience the divine. A philosopher, most of you know, Aristotle, who, by the way, was not a Christian, just in case, wrote before Christ. He wrote about the triads. He said, in one of his books on the heavens, he says, as the Pythagoreans say, the world and all that is in it is determined by the number three, since beginning and middle and end give the number of an all. And the number they give is the triad. And so having taken these three from nature as laws of it, we make further use of the number three in the worship of the gods. So even someone who was not a Christian had this inkling. God is a complex thing. The Trinitarian God that we Christians believe is an expression of our experience of God. Even though Trinity is not the word, it's a word that we do not find in the gospel, Christians experience God as three in one. And I always give the example of Stephen. Stephen, the first martyr, just about to be killed. He had come to Jerusalem. He had spoken truth to power. He had said to the synagogue and to all the people, the high priests and everybody, they said, you killed Jesus. And he was very adamant. He did not save any words. He spoke truth. And he was about to be killed. And in the Acts of the Apostles, this is what we hear. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Trinity is not an abstract. For him, first of all, the Trinity is the Spirit that is within him, filled with the Holy Spirit. It was an experiential. God is in my bones. God is in me. And then he says, he saw, he gazed in heaven. And heaven is a metaphor from what is not here. Gaze upon the glory of God, which is this God that is way beyond any of us. The God that we just stand in awe. And beside this glory of God stood Jesus, one like us, standing there for us. Trinity is not an abstract idea. For Stephen was a practical, an experiential of how he perceived God. And to be quite honest, this Trinitarian pattern is not only in Christianity. I'm not going to say it's the same. They're very different theologies, but it is found in many different spiritualities and religions around the world. Sumerian, Babylon, and India, and Greece, and Egypt, Yorubaland, Buddhist, Taoist, Germanic, Celtic. Different traditions have a way, an understanding of this three in one and one in three. That is not the same as the Trinity, but point and makes us wonder. There's something here, very deep. We Christians even read the Hebrew scriptures, which is totally not Trinitarian, but we read it in that way. When we read the prophet Isaiah saying, the seraph chanted to God's glory, holy, holy, holy. Of course, we understand it. That is our understanding of the divine. The seraphs with three pairs of wings, and God saying, who are we to call? Who will go for us? We Christians shall see, there's an us. God is community. These experiences of three was later elaborated in the idea and the dogma of the Trinity. I would like to quote another mystic. Her name is Mechtil of Magdeburg, whose feast we celebrated a couple of days ago. And she was a very interesting woman, a Beguine. She was not a nun and she was not married. She lived a life of devotion to God in her own way. And she wrote a beautiful book called The Flowing Lights of the Godhead. 30 years it took her to write that book. And in it, this is how she prays to the Trinity. She says, Lord Heavenly Father, you are my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, you are my body. Lord Holy Spirit, you are my breath. Isn't it beautiful? Lord Heavenly Father, you are my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, you are my body. Lord Holy Spirit, you are my breath. And then she ends, Lord Holy Trinity, you are my only refuge and my eternal rest. The Trinity, once again, is not a theoretical idea, a very practical one. We who say we believe in God as Trinity, we're saying that we do not believe in binaries. We need to go beyond the either or, the simplistic mentality of black and white, of us and them, and us and them as this weekend we remember the massacre at Tulsa, where probably 300 blacks were killed between this us and them. Going beyond the binary of male and female, Democrats and Republicans, even as the old movies say, the good guys and the bad guys. It's ingrained in us. The cowboys and the Indians. If we believe in Trinity, we have to go beyond this binary. We see this in our politics, gender expression, our theology. I had a professor of mine, a Jesuit, by the way, who told me, heresies are always this or that. Always, the orthodoxy is this and that. Go beyond the binaries. And it's not either a monism, either. It is not the singleness, a system that denies distinction. We who believe in Trinity, we believe and celebrate the diversity. It is very facile, the idea, we're all the same. I don't see any color. We are just a melting pot. Or more aggressively, one should all have the same religion. On one end, or as someone told me here in the Village Green, we should all burn all the churches and all religions and eliminate them. I think those are the same ideas at the end. We should all speak one language. We should all have one political party. Communist countries have only one, or sometimes here in our country, as we just read about Texas, it can happen here too. One superior race. And what sadly happened this week in Kamloops, the Indian reservation school, where they found 215 bodies of children. Because the idea is they have to be like us. We have to assimilate them. And this is the temptation. We have to be one and exclude the diversity. So as I understand the Trinity is, if I want to reflect God, I have to be the ability to go beyond the binaries, this or that, and I have to go beyond the oneness, the unity that eliminates distinction and diversity. For me, to believe in the Trinity is truly to rejoice in the difference of creation. Rejoice that the God we celebrate is a God of community. There are three in one and one in three. Gregory of Nazianzus wrote, when I speak of God, and this is way back, over 1700 years ago or more, when I speak of God, you must be illumined at once by one flash of light and by three. They are divided without division. To speak as so to speak, and they are united in diversity. Isn't that beautiful? They are, the God we believe is a God that is divided without division and united in diversity. If that is the God we believe, our world, our churches, our inner life should reflect that belief. We should be icons of the Trinity. And as we prepare for Holy Communion, as we receive the sacrament, the body of Christ, we're invited to consume it, to become one with the Trinity. Again, Mechthild of Magdeburg, talking about Holy Communion, she said, whenever we receive God's body, the Godhead, the Father, unites itself to our innocent soul. And God's humanity, Christ, mixes itself with our lowly body. And thus does the Holy Spirit make his dwelling in our faith. This blessed union we should preserve with great care. So I invite you, when you come to communion, think of these words of Mechthild, that we may truly preserve with great care this blessed union, that we may reflect in our bodies, in our lives, in our society, in our church, an image of the Blessed Trinity. Let us pray. O God, our mystery, you bring us to life. Call us to freedom and move between us with love. May we so participate in the dance of your Trinity that our lives may resonate with you now and forever. Amen.